Hello and welcome to the Youth Trends podcast from Vox Burner. This is the first episode of season 3 and we'll be chatting to just some of the speakers who will be taking the stage at our 6th Youth Marketing Festival YMS this September in New York. Our first guest is Tal Hirschberg, product manager at Starbucks Entertainment, and here's what he had to say about how America's favourite coffee shop is adapting for Gen Z. Hello there, Tal.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
Really, really good, Tal. Really good. So, Tal, it'd be great to kick off with hearing a little bit about who you are, what you do, your background, and maybe more specifically, your role at Starbucks.
Okay. Well, so I started out as a lawyer. After college, I went to law school and wanted to work in entertainment law, but was really more interested in a lot of the combination of business and law in a lot of ways. And so that has, in through a winding path, I ended up on the public policy team at Starbucks. I'm based in New York, but work with my team in Seattle. I'm in Seattle a week a month. And basically, my role is to try to help, because Starbucks has become so many things, so many different people, sometimes it's hard with all the different messages that we have to really pinpoint the audience that we want for our specific messages and be able to reach them in the way that, in the manner that they're used to getting their content or their information from. And as you know, with young people, that's very different from what it was even 5 years ago. So my job has really been to try to find new influencers, new modes, or at least bring Starbucks closer into the future with the way that we tell our stories, and specifically in the social impact area. Starbucks has always been very big on the 5 or 6 now main pillars in our social impact. That's the hiring of veterans, U.S. veterans. We have the refugee initiative that is very big in London. That was started 2 years ago. We have our making coffee, the most ethically sourced market, you know, the product in the world. We now have now we're big into our conservation, as you know, with our shift to no straws and reusable plastics. And so these are it's easier to sell a frappuccino than sometimes it is to sell the actual good things that we do. And, you know, the biggest example is, for years, if you looked at the internet, Starbucks, there was an ugly rumor that Starbucks did not support the troops, which has been debunked many times. But that was whenever you hear people talk about Starbucks's quote-unquote political agenda, they would say, well, they don't support the troops. Could it be anything farther from the truth in the last 6-7 years? We've hired over 25,000 veterans. So how do we get that out to young people when you know that these are the type of things that that when they're deciding where to use their dollar and where to spend a lot of the social impact stuff we see is what young people care about. So how do we tell them what we do without being heavy-handed, making it entertaining, and explaining exactly the reason, especially in today's cynical times where everyone assumes things you do is just for either PR or for money, and explaining the real essence and the basic tenets that Starbucks is built on, trying to get out those ideas to the world.
Absolutely. And moving on to that notion that you mentioned about Starbucks' brand values, what are your tips on how marketers that are listening to this podcast today can use online content to demonstrate their own brand values in such a successful way that you guys at Starbucks have done?
I think, well, for the most part, it's easier said than done. I think a lot of those values have to be instilled from the bottom up, and obviously with a founder like Howard Schultz and our moving on to our CEO, our current CEO, Kevin Johnson, you really need to both believe in it, believe that it's part of your core essence, as Howard would always say. And so when you instill that from the top down, and it's every, you know, the most important people in our values and in expressing this are our people on the ground. So the hundreds of thousands of baristas across the world, we try to put a lot of those issues and that care that we give to both our employees, our customers, through them. But then it's also having to reach people on different levels. You can, like I said, you can't communicate to today's 18-year-old the same way you want to communicate to a 5th-year-old, but they both want coffee, right? And sometimes they may even want the same drink. So
There's a lot of really identifying the audiences, speaking to them in the way that they're used to be spoken to, that's authentic. And when you and really the biggest thing that I've found of late is to not try to use the shotgun, you know, you don't need to capture everyone at once. I think you see the niche audiences, and that's where you can show real more impact, because if you speak to them authentically, if you speak to them on their level in the places where they're used to, they're not being spoken to by a company. They're being spoken to by people who they trust, and in a manner that they don't feel like they're being sold.
I understand.
If people want to learn more, stories.starbucks.com should get you there. You'll really see some of the more incredible things that we have going on. Like I said, this company is really it's based on human values, on one cup, one person at a time, coffee through the lens of humanity. So I think that I don't think enough people know about how much good that this company does in throughout every community that they're in. And if they want to know more, it's a great place to start.
And Starbucks as a brand has always been associated, with music. I'm sure I've got a number of your playlists stored on my Apple Music. what are you guys doing to keep this connection alive and use it to attract music fans directly to your stores?
So right, that recently as 10 years ago, or maybe less now, we were selling physical CDs, and at that point Starbucks had a great success. There were a few, Ray Charles' album won a Grammy. There was a few that we did, but as times change, you have to adapt. In the last couple of years, we've changed more to a digital aspect. We had a partnership with Spotify, and that's where you'll see a lot of our current playlists. We have a great team that updates our music at least once a month. Every playlist, we have specific playlists for different stores, and there is a big ecosystem music, because it is so essential to the company, and you'll see it now being manifested in a lot of the charities we do. We work with Lady Gaga and her Born This Way Foundation. Last Christmas, we worked with Chance the Rapper, Metallica, Lady Gaga. And I'm blanking on the fourth, but we do it. So there are always these in ways that, again, that are authentic, that is still our values. We've broken artists. We still really think that music is a big part of our culture. Now it's just, again, people used to buy CDs. If they're not buying CDs, what's the method to show the artist that Starbucks appreciates or respects and enjoys or wants you to hear? And you see a lot of that now in the overhead music. You'll see on social media, a lot of a lot of the most exciting tweets are when a fan is saying and tagging an artist that they're like, oh my God, they're being played in Starbucks. Some people find that as a sign of validation of having made it. And so we have the app that can tell you what song is playing or whatever store you're in. So there are a lot of ways that we do try to integrate music and hopefully going forward in the future, continue to do so.
Sure. Fantastic. And so, Voxburner ourselves, we produce an annual piece of research called the Youth Trends Report that we'll be launching at YMS this September. And we found within this report that 16 to 24s view brands positively if they're catering for diets such as vegetarianism or veganism and so on. How have you found Starbucks to be adapting to serve a more health-conscious generation of young people?
Well, obviously, again, that's you always have to adapt, and we've tried in many ways. While we currently don't have fully, let's say, what you would call vegan items, we have made a lot of, because to be honest, because they've not done so well, but we do have a lot of options. The egg bites that have been introduced, the sous vide egg bites in the past couple of years are really good for the gluten-free community. You'll start seeing, and you have, I think, an effort to reduce the sugar content of many of our drinks, to keep the same treats that people like, but with maybe less of the caloric effect. And then we have we started expanding our lunch options with the market initiative that we have. So we are going, again, there's this interesting balance between being a coffee place and really focusing on the food, and we're constantly trying to find that balance. In a lot of our new Reserve stores, you'll find a lot more options as well. That's our upper level, what we call our Siren Retail, where that includes at the top the 6 or 7 big roastery and tea rooms in New York, Japan, Shanghai. We have
London?
You, Seattle. Yeah, London. So those are, you'll see a lot more options there. But look, we obviously know that the tastes are changing and we're trying to get there. But again, when you have people who have been used to their same routines for how many years now, I'm sure such as yourself, you wouldn't be surprised to when one item gets removed for another item, how many complaints we get for a lemon cake or this or that. So it's always having to be aware of what the tastes are, where they're going.
Absolutely.
Very important, but also scale and the ability to not, right? We don't want to make things any, when you start adding ability to edit sort of menus or items, you start making the lives so much harder for baristas. And I'm sure you've been aware of when there's a line that's a little too long, how tough their lives can get. So there's always a balance between obviously what our customers want, but also what's feasible in maintaining the same level of satisfaction for our customers at their every trip they go to every Starbucks.
Sure. Then talking about that, I guess, in-store experience that you guys do so well, what do you feel that you guys have done so well to attract young consumers into your store, as opposed to maybe, you know, sitting at home and getting a coffee with friends, I don't know, like in their lounge or so on? And what can maybe some of our listeners do to attract people away from the digital world to have that in-store experience?
It's a great question. When Howard started the company, one of the biggest themes was creating a third place. Everyone has their home, and then they have work. And it's pretty prescient for him to have thought of that, you know, to say that 30 years ago, when now you are seeing a lot of there's a lot less of that human connection. And I think that what we've done consistently is have people know that not only can they get a consistent, amazing cup of coffee at every Starbucks they go to, but they can also get that human interaction with their barista, with other people. It's a place, I think, where people know that when they are craving a little bit of human connection, they can go. There will always be someone around. Our baristas, our partners will always make the experience right. And I think that people are missing that human connection. And I also then now, and part of that is now you also have to give people a reason beyond that. So when you think of like the Frappuccinos, the limited time offers that we have, the Instagrammable moments, those all add together based on our company ethos and obviously the incredible products to make it a place where people need to be, want to be, and want to share it. And I think that's exactly what we've always wanted, a place where people feel comfortable to come in and just be themselves. And we don't, and hopefully we've done that in each and every one of our stores.
Absolutely. And I know recently you've kicked the initiative of, you know, ordering ahead of time. You know, on the move and an order on your app, and you know, it's good to go when you arrive. How have you found the uptake on that 1624s? Any sort of feedback that you want to share currently with us on that?
I mean, look, I think any time that you can, unfortunately, when you don't have to take someone's eyes off of their phone or their device, you're going to that friction reduces, and in today's age, we've shown that it's added. Right, there's this issue of it's like quote unquote basic, right? And there are people who shy away from something as ubiquitous as Starbucks. But if we can continue to be on the cutting edge with the order ahead, with our Starbucks reward system that is, I think, at this point is better than almost any other customer reward system in terms of its ability, the usefulness of the app, or call ahead, all those things. So I think that if you make people's lives easier, if you make it comfortable, if you understand what they're coming in for, then things work out. And I think that that's exactly it. Sometimes there are people who want to come in and sit around and work. And sometimes there are going to be people who are on the go and just want to grab their coffee. And that's what I think we've been able to do with the app. While I have you, I'd like to also talking about like being on the forefront. We're launching this week our first real major content on Amazon.com called This Is Football. It's a 6-part series about soccer throughout the world, and with one episode specifically about Liverpool. So I would hope all your audience will watch. But again, that's being on the forefront, knowing that the U.S. soccer team would create even more interest in the U.S., but it's a worldwide event, worldwide series. And again, it's reshaping what we think Starbucks means to people. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised when they see this series, that some company that they thought was just about, you know, coffee and what they thought Starbucks was about is now really is expanding our repertoire into these type of projects and showing, hopefully, the youth of America that we definitely understand and we're out there trying to give them what they want.
Sounds awesome. And so when that launches this week, sorry, did you say next week? Or?
Yep. Yesterday we had our premiere in Seattle. It should be available, I believe, tomorrow. I should have done better research for our global audience. I know in the U.S. it'll be available on Amazon Prime Video, but definitely check it out. It's called This Is Football.
Great. We'll check it out. And until finally, I know you'll be joining us for YMS this September, which, you know, we're really excited to host you guys. And you're talking on a panel around traditional brands reinventing themselves for Gen Z.
Yep.
What classic brands do you think have done a really great job of remaining relevant to new generations?
I think some of the brands that they're the shoe companies like Puma that are now sort of understanding that to be relevant, you need to find the new creative genius, like, or not new, but like a new person to lead the company in a creative way, like Jay-Z, and signing a lot of these new NBA players. Really interested in what they do. There are some, you know, in our industry, a lot of the companies that I look at are going to be food related. I think what Taco Bell does, I know that it's not necessarily a as in what you consider traditional brand, but I think considering what people's original notions are and where they have gone now with their new cantinas, with their healthier menus, I think to still be evolving when you very easily could just be that late night, you know, taco thing for young people, I think is a really interesting, and especially what they've done with social media. I think there are a lot of, I think to signal, you'll see the companies that are the most authentic when they're talking in a way that doesn't make anyone feel awkward. Like if I can understand that the commercials or the projects or the collaborations, they may not be for me, but they can be for, but I understand that they're for a younger audience. I'm not going to feel, the older people won't feel alienated and the younger people will feel really heard or spoken to. And I think that's the balance that you're looking for when you say traditional brands improving is not giving up an old audience for a new one.
Absolutely.
Because that's extremely important, because you never want to alienate your original customers. We always want to keep expanding.
Cool. Thanks for that, Sal. And before we say goodbye, just a couple of quick fire questions.
Please.
To kick off the day. Best moment of your career so far?
For 2 years, I had to explain to some of my team that if you're going to have people understand the military and appreciate the military or reach out to those in the military community, you have to talk like they talk. So for 2 years, I've been trying to work with these, they're called Zero Block 30. They're a podcast that are run through veterans, but every time you would Google them, there would be some off-color comment, not off-color, but, you know, like how military people speak. There'd be curses, there'd be potty humor. And so every time I would try to go into a meeting and suggest that maybe we use these people, the Google search would shoot me down. But finally, after 2 years, I was able to convince them that this is something we should try to reach out to this audience. Last year, we did a four-part video series with them, going around the country to our various military family stores. And it's probably our most successful video social impact to date. And that was an achievement for me, because when people are telling you no, I'm sure a lot of young people relate to this, but you have these ideas of how to connect to specific people, and then it works and they connect and you start seeing the feedback. It's incredible. So just, I would say that those moments, if you have a gut, especially to our young marketers, if you have a feeling, go for it, because there's a lot of people who say no, but all you need is that one yes to be successful.
Absolutely. Great point. Your favorite app on your phone and why?
So I'm a sports guy. But actually, this is kind of interesting. There's an app called Tunity that I'm really into, because we've just had a baby. I think you may hear him in the back. And it allows me to watch any TV through my headphones, through my phone. So basically, you zap the TV, whatever channel, sports, and then you're listening, you're watching the TV, or like, it basically it's for people in bars who want to hear voiceover, but it's been really helpful to still have my TV on while rocking a baby to sleep. So I guess that is my current favorite app.
Oh, congratulations.
And Dr. Mario. A little obsessed with the new Dr. Mario game. Shout out Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, the new one that's just been released, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
It's a good one. Yeah, big fan. Great company. Something very few people know about you.
I didn't drink coffee until I started working at Starbucks.
Okay.
I think that's a good one, really. Was not, don't know, through all those, I would only really drink it when I would have to pull all-nighters in law school. And then, I guess, if you're going to represent a product, you should probably appreciate it. And so I've been immersed in the last couple of years in the love affair that our company has with coffee, and I've really grown to appreciate it. But I can't say that I was such a connoisseur until I became part of the company.
Okay, good, cool. And what are you most looking forward to about joining us this September for YMS New York?
I'm really interested in what the new ideas are. What are the suggestions? What are the ideas that, like, quote unquote, older people or a different demographic would immediately shut down? The quicker someone says, the quicker an idea sounds dumb to an older person, the quicker I'm really interested in it. I think that sometimes the sentiments, the ideas that are bubbling right underneath, I think that I'm hoping, and I believe that that's what will be at VoxBurner, where you can get these ideas ahead of time, ruminate, see how they apply to your company, in this case Starbucks, see how we can continue to evolve, and just learn from other companies, because if you stop learning, then you're going to get caught in the past, and that's the worst thing that can happen to any brand.
And Tal, can't say goodbye before asking you, what's your favorite Starbucks drink?
My favorite Starbucks drink, so I would say, if you're near a one of our reserve stores, we have a whiskey barrel-aged coffee where the beans are aged in old whiskey barrels, so there's no alcohol in it. But when it's in cold brew, when it's brewed, it tastes like an Irish coffee. And then on a regular Starbucks visit, I am a blonde almond latte. Really love the new blonde espresso that we've launched in last year. And I think it's a really great alternative to, especially for younger tastes as well, from what some people may not like in our darker roast. So currently that's my daily order, and especially iced these days.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights, and we're looking forward to seeing you in September.
Thank you for having me, and yes, we'll see you in my city in September.
Cheers.
Thanks, Tal, for that great conversation, and we look forward to hearing more from him at YMS, where he'll be joining our panel on traditional brands reinventing themselves for Gen Z alongside BMW, Crocs and Subway. Tickets are now on sale for YMS 19 NYC, and it's your last chance to make the most of our early bird. So please use the code PODCAST10 to get a further 10% off on tickets at checkout. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to welcoming you back here next week for some more youth trends.